the Glasgow Neuro Society, in association with SNI, or Surgical Neurology International, and SNI Digital, are happy to present the abstracts and discussion of the 10th anniversary Glasgow Neuro Society meeting held in November of 2022 in Glasgow, Scotland. Hassan Ismail is president of the Glasgow Neuro Society at that time. He's from the Wolfson School of Medicine at the University of Glasgow in Scotland and the United Kingdom. Faculty commentators are Liketh Elakandi, who's the consultant neurosurgeon at the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital in Glasgow, and Amy Davidson, a neurologist, also at the University of Glasgow, also at the Institute of Infection, Immunity, and Inflammation in Glasgow, Scotland. Other Glasgow Neuro hosts were Elizabeth Middleton, Vice President of Glasgow Neuro, and Attica Chowdhury, another Vice President of Glasgow Neuro.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our panel discussion. Our next speaker is Agi Jyoti, and she'll be talking about her poster, Recent Advancements in Robotic Skull-Based Neurosurgery, a Review. I'll hand over to you, Agi.
Hi, thank you. So hi, everyone. So my project primarily focused on robotic surgery and its potential to overcome the limitations of an endoscopic endonasal surgical approach. So for any midline skull pathologies, the endoscopic endonasal approach is the current standard surgical approach. However, it has certain limitations, such as constrained sinonasal corridor, a need for a second surgeon, the lack of sufficient dexterity to close large skull-based defects, and so on. But robotic surgery could overcome these limitations. So what I did was I conducted a review with the aim to identify recent advancements in robotic skull-based neurosurgery. And I chose studies from 2018 up till 2022, so a five-year time period. And I used the PRISMA guidelines to generate six studies for data extraction. So ultimately, the recent advancements in robotic surgery that were identified included five robots. So they were concentric tube robot and robotic handles, the endoscopic robot, the microcontinuum robot, the Versys robotic system, and also the semi-autonomous integrated robotic system using the Raven 2 surgical system. So individually, each of these robots had their own advantages and limitations. But as a whole, the advantages were improved performance, benefits in lengthy interventions and deep corridors, and also higher dexterity and safety and also modularity. And as a whole, the limitations were mostly requiring a redesign and also requiring validation of their reliability. So to conclude, I did a review and I found out that there were five recent advancements in robotic neurosurgery, and also my review pointed out the advantages and also the limitations of these five systems. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Okay.
I am happy for you to take the lead here, Mr. Elakandi. Yeah. I'm very interested in you.
Yeah, just two questions. Agi, this is a very rapidly evolving and developing field. So between the years 2018 and 2022, were these robots kind of sequentially identified, or were they all in the same era or generation?
So some of these robots, for example, the Raven 2 was in for quite a period before this, but what happened was they sort of used the Raven 2, which was previously here before 2018, and they added like a semi-autonomous system to it. So in terms of like modularity, they added a camera and endoscope and tried to make it semi-autonomous. So some of these systems were already there previously, but what they did was they modified it. So in terms of like sequential wise, there isn't a sequential to it, so they were sort of there already.
Because in anybody who's going to invest in a robot or an advanced engineering innovation, you're waiting for the optimum time to purchase it because it's a huge investment. There are two issues here. One, when do we know you have peaked in technology? We never peak in technology. Secondly, how do you identify cost effectiveness, and what your studies, have your studies identified any aspect of this side, which is very, very important in UK medicine?
Right.
There are two questions. Sorry, I've asked two in a row, but did you get the two questions? Yeah.
Yes, it was about cost and the right.
One is about cost effectiveness, and one when to know when to buy.
Right. So I feel that because for most of the studies, they were mostly prototypes, and they required, like, because they did also feedbacks from surgeons as well who used these robotic prototypes, and some of them required a redesigning as well. So in terms of optimal timing to purchase it, I would feel that the ones which require redesigning, for example, the robotic handles, it's not time for them yet. But I feel that they're sort of moving towards the direction where they're creating a proper system. So like my favorite one would be the semi-autonomous one, because it is sort of integrating AI into it and also using surgeons' knowledge as well, sort of combining both of them. But in terms of like cost and optimal time, I feel like in terms of cost, there weren't much mention about cost. They did compare the Versius system and also the Da Vinci system, and mentioning that the Versius system had a smaller footprint than the Da Vinci system, but not much of cost. So I'm thinking that for future studies, there should be a slightly larger scale studies comparing different robotic systems and ultimately identifying the best system available.
Guess,
okay. Thank you. Well done, and a good thing to look at. Yeah.
My question might be a bit more of a one to ponder. All these advancements are great, and when you were reflecting there, you thought that the best mechanism was one that could utilize like the surgeon's skills. And I guess, I mean, this might be one for Mr. Alcandy as well, like robotics and moving on, safer practice is good, but is there ever a worry that we're going to de-skill the surgeons, or is this always a good thing to bring robots into the operating theatre? And as a lowly neurologist, I should just stay in my lane.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I always feel that, you know, in medicine especially, it's important to have the human touch. So I feel that there's always a need for surgeons there, and we do require the surgeon to be in the operating theatre. But because in terms of technology, it has made our lives so much more easier in this last few decades. So I do feel that with integrating like artificial intelligence and combining the surgeon's knowledge as well, there could be like, it could enhance patient safety in the long run. But of course, I'm not a professional in artificial intelligence and how it works as well. So I think there should be, you know, some sort of a discussion between like the computer scientists and also surgeons in the future in terms of creating something better and something which could enhance patient safety as well, and also make the surgeons' lives so much more easier.
Thank you.
Lovely. Actually, I have a question. Mr. Alcandy, do you have any experience with the expansion of robotics in neurosurgery in general, not just in skull base, or any perceptions on it?
So are you recording this, because this is
yes.
we have two robots in use in neurosurgery. One is a Da Vinci robot we use for the DBS. So basically, when you say robot, it's not doing a job of a surgeon, it's become making it more accurate. So the surgeon has to plan the target and everything. So we just, the robotic arm does it. So it is in a way replacing the brain lab navigation. So instead of us adjusting the coordinates, the robotic arm does it. The second robot, which we are trialing now, it's again for spine. It is similar to the navigation system we used to put the screws in, but instead of us calculating the coordinates, and it's got a robotic arm which actually puts the screw in, and we just have to turn the screw. So at the moment, it's not AI, it's not doing its job. It's just guiding the surgeons. So surgeons are still doing the job and doing planning, trajectory, and everything. So that's why I asked this question. There are different stages of robotic advancements, you know, starting from a basic accuracy guidance to motor guidance, you know, where you reduce the tremors and movement, unnecessary movements, to the third level, which is completely AI. So surgeons just have to sit and watch and make sure that they don't make a mistake. So those levels, you know, that's a level. And where do we kind of feel comfortable from, from what Amy said about de-skilling yourself and losing your job, to where the patient safety come into bed. So like Aggie said, it's the most important thing at the end of the day is patient safety. So it's somewhere in the middle, you know, not completely AI, not just because the what we have in the brain lab and neuronavigation is you know, not very different. If you have a robotic to do the extra bit of, you know, edges in the cordium, you can do it yourselves. So it could be somewhere in the middle. In laparoscopic surgeries, I have seen people do it. It's actually where you have the instruments being helped by surgeons. So you're actually finessing the movements as opposed to accuracy, which is what neurosurgeons, you know, use. Yeah,
that's really interesting, actually. And I guess I know, Dr. Davidson, in neurology, is there any drive for anything like this in any of the in the neurology field? Although, you know, and not just in terms of, I guess, robotics, but in terms of any of this sort of future wave of, I guess, the next best thing of technology-driven topics, whether that be robotics or AI, sort of thing.
I mean, I think there certainly would be. Mr. Alicandi offered the version there. So the one that we kind of work closest with in the neurosurgeons is DBS and Parkinson's and in tremor. So we often kind of take advantage of our neurosurgical colleagues in that respect to try and help with these things. So I definitely, you know, we're going to see all kinds of, I guess, kind of joint working with the neurosurgeons from, you know, as we move forward in neurology. And I think, you know, as neurologists, we'd be quite happy to piggyback onto these kind of things as they come up.
Absolutely. And I guess, Aggie, I guess a final question is, do you think from what you've seen, do you think it's the future?
Well, like, as a whole, yes, I think it is sort of moving towards there. Like, we could potentially be depending on robots to help us out, like what Mr. Alicandi said, so, you know, like, helping with accuracy. But I suppose in the future, there would be, like, AI as well, and we are definitely moving towards that direction. But we are definitely not there yet. There's still room for improvement. So, yes, we're definitely moving towards that direction.
Fantastic. And any other final comments from yourself, I guess, before we wrap up?
No, but thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you, obviously, for coming. It was a really interesting talk. Thank you.
We hope you enjoy these presentations. The information provided in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended for use as diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical profession. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to attain CME credit. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to ausman@snidigital.org. This program has been supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the Leading Gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks and Role Models, and the new Medical News Network. Thank you.